Gabriel, you ready?
Yep.
Let's bring the word.
How's it going, guys? Open to Matthew chapter 6. We got to get going. I got a lot of things to say, and I got about 2 hours of Sam. You guys want to sit here for 2 hours and listen to me talk for 2 hours? 2 hours. I won't talk for 2 hours. I promise you that. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. If you're there, say I'm there. All right, some of you are lying. Come on, don't lie in church. Expel the immoral. Whoa. Cool. You there? Go to verse 19. It says this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." This is the New King James. "Where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Come on, if we just came for the reading of the word, my goodness, that's a good scripture right there. Verse 22, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full." Say full. Your whole body will be full of light. "But if your eye is bad," say bad. That's good. "Your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon," or money. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" All the short people said, that's true. "So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things," say thanks, "the Gentiles seek after, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first," say seek first, "seek first the kingdom," you can say it, "the kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, tonight we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you are good, you are good, you are great, and greatly to be praised. God, we lift you up tonight. God, I'm asking that our hearts and our minds would be open to hearing your word tonight. God, I'm asking that you would impart grace and truth to us tonight. God, that we would be full of the things that you have for us. God, we don't want to be full of anything else but you. God, we want to be full of light. God, I'm asking that we would not only be hearers of the word, but we would be doers. I'm asking right now, Lord, that you would birth a passion in each of our hearts tonight to do what you've called us to do. God, use me tonight to declare your word. And God, I'm asking that this river would just flow in this place. God, we want to be changed. We don't ever want to be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Look to your neighbor. You know, one time I was thinking about this. Sometimes when people speak, they say, look to the person on your right. Just do that. Everybody look to the person on your right. Well, now nobody's looking at each other. You know, it doesn't work. So look to one of your neighbors, choose the one of your neighbors, and say, you're full of it. Just say, you're full of it. You're full of it. You guys are like, my goodness, what is he saying? This guy's a horrible, horrible man. That's last week's message, Daniel's generation. You're full of it. Jesus says, like we just read, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body would be full of light. But if your eyes bad, your whole body would be full of darkness. Every one of us in here is full of something. I'm not lying when I look at somebody and I say you're full of it. You're full of something. You got something in you that's overflowing. You're full of it. I'm serious. What are we full of? Acts 6:23, these are some scriptures. Peter talks to Simon. Peter is talking to Simon. I find it interesting because Peter's old name was Simon, but he says to this guy named Simon in chapter 6, verse 23, you don't have to go there. You're going to be flipping back and forth. Just listen to the word real quick. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. You are full of bitterness and captive to sin. In Acts 13:10, Paul is talking to a guy named Elymas. You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes, it is the same for all. There is one fate for the righteous and for the wicked. Say one. There's one fate for the good, for the clean, for the unclean, for the man who offers a sacrifice and for the one who does not offer sacrifice. As the good man is, so is the sinner. As the swearer is, so is the one who is afraid to swear. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that there is one fate for all men. You ready? Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men, or the hearts of all humankind, are full of evil, and insanity is in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterwards, they go to the dead. Genesis 6:5, God's talking. He says, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the heart, or on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart, of humankind, was only evil continually. You're full of something. God's speaking again in Genesis 8:21. He says, I will never again curse the ground on the account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth. You are full of something. It's either goodness or it's sin. It's either evil or it's righteousness. It's either the things of God or the things of man. We're full of something. Is this making sense? Do we all understand that we're full of something? I can prove it to you. Your fruit actually will prove it. James 1:14, you've heard the scripture. It says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Luke 6:45, we got a lot of scripture, so if you're writing notes, write them down. Luke 6:45, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Matthew 15:18. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these things make a man unclean. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean. In other words, trying to do good or be good or trying to do all the religious acts is not going to make you unclean. It's not going to make you worthy or holy anymore. What Jesus is trying to tell us is that out of the heart, he looks at the heart of man, and out of the heart comes wickedness and deceit and lies and slander and gossip and the things of the enemy. Is this making sense? So in other words, God is not concerned with the acts necessarily that you do. Yes, he is concerned about works, but he's more concerned about your heart. See, you can do good and you can be good and you can try and do all the right things outside of church, inside of church, in front of your parents. But if your heart is wicked and if it's full of the things of the devil, it's full of bitterness and gossip and slander. If it's full of hatred and envy, then those works that you do are of nothing. They're of no cost. This is making sense. So you're full of something. Each of us are full of something. I want to be full of the things of God. God does not look
on the outside. He does not look at the works of man. He does not judge us according to our works. To an extent and to a measure, he does. Because the overflow of the heart, our life happens. Mark 7:22. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. Matthew 23:25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. This is Jesus. He's rebuking the Pharisees. I'm not trying to rebuke you tonight. I'm just trying to give you some context here. Please understand. I mean, if the shoe fits, wear it. But I'm not trying to rebuke you tonight. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. He's talking to the religious leaders of the time. This is Jesus speaking. He says, you hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence or selfish desires. You clean the inside of your cup, but inside you're just full of selfishness. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Look, if your heart is clean, if it gets consecrated and it gets washed by the blood of Jesus, you will naturally do the things of God. It's not hard to do the things of God when your heart, the Bible talks about the heart being the seat of all desires. Our actions come from our desires. And so if your heart is pure and clean, you will naturally do the things of God. Does that make sense? Come on, somebody's got to shout me or something. I mean, you guys are just quiet. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Flip to Colossians 2. I got a lot of scripture tonight. This is not even halfway through. This is still the introduction. How many of you guys are excited about God's word tonight?
Yeah.
Wow. He's really excited.
While you're flipping there, I want you to know something. This, just to kind of catch up where we're at. Your holiness. God says, be holy. We're going to go there in a few. But in 1 Peter, he says, be holy as I am holy. This is not a suggestion. This is not a thought of God. This is a commandment of God. It's for us as His people, as His children, to be holy as He is holy. To reflect Him. But our holiness is not measured by our outside. It's not necessarily measured by our works. It's measured by our heart. It's measured by our motives. It's measured by our desires. It's measured by our thoughts. You with me? God measures our holiness by our heart. I'll prove it to you. Colossians 2, verse 16. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. He's saying, don't let anybody judge you based on works. You hearing me? Verse 17. Which are a shadow, say shadow, of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those with things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Say, God gives the increase. Therefore, if you died with Christ, how many of you died with Christ? Wow. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves, your heart, who you are, to the regulations of the world? Acts, works, doing good, being good. Right? You hear? You listen with me? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. Some of us in here, our purity and our holiness comes down to this. I'm not going to watch that movie. I'm not going to listen to that song. I'm not going to make out with that girlfriend. I'm not going to go get drunk on a weekend. Well, because, you know, next time I see Pastor Reed, he's going to ask me how I'm doing. And I'm not a liar, so I got to tell him, you know, this is what I just don't want to lie. And so I'm just not going to do those things.
I'm not going to listen to that kind of music. Oh, I really want to, though. You're fooling yourself. That's not purity. That's not holiness. That's living by the law. That's exactly what he's talking about. He says those things are a shadow of things to come. He says, but the substance, the bedrock, what really, really matters is Christ. It's your desires, your motives, your works being based off of Christ. Look, I'm not going to go watch that movie. I'm not going to go commit adultery. I'm not going to get drunk. I'm not going to do the things of the world. Not because I don't care, not because of what everybody else says, but because Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose again. And so now I'm going to die to the things of this world. My heart and my motives are based on the substance of Christ. Does this make sense? So we need to be full of Christ. We need to be motivated, passionate, zealous about Christ and about doing good, not because everybody else tells us, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, but because I love Jesus. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. That's your motives. So the substance, he says, Colossians 2, is of Christ. Still going here. This is all my introduction. Stay with me. Which all concern things which perish. These things, these laws that you make up, these just perish. You hearing me? With the using. According to the commandments and the doctrines of men. These are just doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom. They look good. You're looking holy. And self-imposed religion. False humility and the neglect of the body, but are of no value. Say, no value. No value. They are of no value, of no substance against the indulgences of the flesh. This is what it says in the New Living Translation to better understand it. It says, these rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion. I'm not going to watch that movie. I'm not going to listen to those songs. I'm not going to look at that girl. And I'm not going to fantasize about that guy. And I'm not going to do... And it causes strong devotion. It looks good on the outside. Pious self-denial and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Look, we were born, Jesus, God says it, I read it in Genesis 8, that we were born from the youth with evil thoughts and desires. And so when we come to Christ, we're not like made holy like that. Now in the Spirit, God sees us as holy because His blood covers us. Does this make sense? Understand me, we're in context now. I'm talking about living a life of holiness. But our holiness must come from a right, true motive and desire that comes from the heart. And doing good and all those things, all those rules that you make up, all those things that you try and orchestrate your life to fit according to the doctrines of men or to the doctrines of a youth ministry, or the doctrines of a church, or to the doctrines of what your parents say. Those are of no effect in your actual desires. And let me tell you, God cares about your desires. He cares about your heart. He cares about your motives. So we need to fix those motives. He says they're of no effect when we're trying to change the motives. They're of no effect when we're trying to shift and to transform the desires. How many of you want to have a pure heart? How many of you want to have a heart that's full of light, like Jesus says in Matthew 6? How many of you want a heart that's full of the things of God? Full of righteousness and just love and peace and joy and the fruit of the Spirit. Look, the fruit of the Spirit doesn't just happen because you try and do it. The fruit of the Spirit happens because your heart is consecrated and set before the Lord. When I say consecrated, I'm saying you're set apart. Your heart, who you are, is set apart for the Lord. Don't fool yourselves. Let's not fool ourselves. The laws, the things that we make up, they're of no substance. They're of no value. What really matters is your desires being of Christ. 1 Peter, go to 1 Peter. It's after Hebrews, after James. 1 Peter 1. You with me? First Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, whew, this is good. This is the New King James. Therefore, yours is going to say a little bit different. Gird up the loins of your mind. Or yours probably says, therefore, prepare yourself for action. Get ready for battle. And rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Because it is written, be holy. Or does it say, do holy things? Does it say, do holy things? Or does it say, be holy? Being holy is who you are, not what you necessarily do. Hear me now. Good works, those things, yes. I'm not going to listen to 50 Cent. I'm going to stop watching MTV and Britney Spears. Well, that's going to work for a little bit. That's good. That's good. But look, those things are of no substance. Be holy. Be holy. For I am holy. God is full of something. And he's full of holiness. He is, in and of himself, holy. The angels dance around his throne, singing, holy, holy, holy. They can't get enough of his holiness. There's no measure, there's no depth to his holiness. And he says, be holy as I am holy. This is a command. Now, I'm not sitting here saying, I'm holy, guys, I'm perfect. Look, this is something that we all, this is just a basic principle of Christianity, that we all attain holiness. That we all attain unity in the faith. You with me? The Bible says, listen now, John 1, verse 14. Jesus, he is the only begotten of the Father. Okay, you hearing me? Bible says that he came full. Now look, if Jesus, our Savior, came full of something, then I want to know what he was full of. If Jesus came full of something, I want to know what he was full of. And the Bible says that he was full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. And all throughout the Bible, we just read that man was full of deceit, wickedness, envy, slander, gossip, all these other horrible things. And God says, be holy as I am holy. So then the question is, Gabriel, how do I become holy? Does anybody want to have a pure heart? Does anybody want to see their hearts changed? I thank God Jesus sheds a light to his disciples. I think he sheds a light to us today, 2008. And he's trying to tell us something of how to become holy. It's in Matthew 6. We just read it. Now listen, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore that light which is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? In order for you to be holy and to be full of light, you have to have a good eye. And some of you are like, what the heck does that mean? And see, most of us read that scripture and we think, okay, I'm not going to look at that thing. I'm not going to watch that. And we get too caught up in our actual physical eye. Now, yes, hear me, that is to a certain extent true. But your eye, in this time, in this day and age, when Jesus spoke of the eye, it was the mind. Our eye was metaphorically, when Jesus talked about the eye, he was metaphorically speaking of the mind. He was metaphorically speaking of our inner self. You catching me? He's metaphorically speaking of our mind. And I mean mind because over and over again I studied out the Greek and the understanding of what was really going on here. And Jesus was talking about the mind. He says, if you want to have a good eye and you want to be full of light, you got to have a good eye. If you want to be full of light, then you got to have a good eye. So what's a good eye? A good eye is a good mind. And the word good, we'll get to that a little bit later. It means to have a good eye, a good mind, good thoughts, things that are on Christ. Is this making sense? In other words, your mind is the window, the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson says that your mind is the window, your eye is the window to your soul. We want to be full of light. Our light is intrinsically connected to our soul. Our mind is intrinsically connected to our heart. It's of utmost importance that you have a good mind. When we're talking about holiness, when we're talking about being right before God, when we're talking about being pure in our heart and in our desires, the catalyst for transformation of your heart rests in your mind. It's the window to your soul. Gabriel, I want to be full of light. I want to have good desires. I want to be led by the things of God. We got to have a good eye. And that is a good mind. You're full of whatever comes through your eye. Whatever comes through your mind, you are full of. The thoughts, the thinking, this is what we're getting at tonight. Is that we want to be full of the things of God. But your mind, hear me now. If you don't hear anything else tonight, hear this. Your mind is the window to your heart. It's the window. What comes through your mind feeds your heart and your soul. It feeds your being. I'm going to shed some more light on this just to back it up by the scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this age, now I wish I could, we don't have time to go through the context of what Paul's writing to the Corinthians, but I wish we could because it's speaking on the same thing. But 2 Corinthians is 3, read chapter 3, the end of the chapter, when he's talking about Moses having a veil, read that all the way to 4 chapter, or verse 7. Just read that, write it down, read it when you get home. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Okay, he's blinding the minds. So the enemy has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. You with me? Why would he blind the minds of the unbelievers? So that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The enemy wants to blind our minds, because if he blinds our minds, if he blinds our thinking, if he hinders our thoughts, and he distracts our thoughts, we cannot see spiritually the things of God. Are you with me? I'm asking that because a lot of you seem like you're dozing off. You're getting lost. Stay with me. Your eye is your mind. We got to have a good eye. We got to have a solid mind. Shed some more light on it. Our mind is the window. It's the funnel. It's the channel or the conduit to our heart. You see in the picture? Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." You are a product of your thoughts. You are a product of the things that go through your mind. You meditate on it long enough, you think about it long enough, it will produce something in you. Read Romans 1. We're going to go to Romans 1, 18. I've never had to go this fast in a message before. This is fun, though. We got a lot of scripture. Romans 1, verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." He's saying that Jesus' invisible qualities have been manifest through earth, through mountains and through the waters and through the tides of the universe. It's expressed. He's saying, look, God's real. They can't make any excuses when they get to God. "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts." This word futile can also be translated as of no focus. Their thoughts became lost, loose, without a single focus. Now back to Matthew 6, that word good means to be single. It means to have one single eye. If you read the context of Matthew 6, what we're just reading about having a good eye, if you read through that whole chapter, you will see over and over again that Jesus is after one thing. You can't love both God and money. Don't seek all these things. Seek the kingdom. You see what he's getting at. He's saying that your eye has to be focused on one thing. And the people, now watch me, listen now, here we go. It says they're futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. If you have no focus and no centralized, your mind is not centralized on the things of God, your heart will get dark. This is why the people, the Gentiles and the unbelievers of the old, and still today, and even some of us here today, have become darkened in our hearts because we have not gotten our minds to be singly focused on God. Focused. One mind. The Bible says to be one mind, to have the same mind of Christ, not to be double-minded because he's tossed to and fro. You hearing me? So our mind is of utmost importance in our holiness. Go a little bit further. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. See, they focused, they meditated, their minds were all over the place, and their hearts were darkened, so God gave them over to their darkness. To dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for lie and worshipped and served creatures rather than... It goes on and on and on, and then it goes, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled, there's that word again, they were filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Listen, if your mind is not singly focused on the things of God, your mind is a playground for the devil. When you don't have a foot, well, brother, I'm not really thinking of anything. Well, that's a playground for the devil. If we wake up every morning and if we don't set our minds on the things of Christ, if our eyes are not focused on Him, our mind, our thoughts, the window to our heart, our desires, becomes a playground for the devil. Your mind is important. Your eye is very important. It's of utmost importance in your holiness. We got to have a good mind. There's not enough preaching in the church about a good mind. Our mind is important. God cares about our thoughts. Don't let your thoughts wander. That's why we don't watch movies that are rated R and full of sexual things. That's why we don't listen to songs that are horrible, because it corrupts our mind. And what it does is it fills our hearts, it darkens our hearts. And now our motives have been shifted. You with me? I want to have a good heart. I want my heart to be full of light. Jesus says, you're the light of the world. Whether you like it or not, you're the light of the world. What light is coming from you? Is it darkness or is it light? Because as believers, we're not necessarily Christians. We're the light of the world. But we're not lights of the world if that lamp is not shining light within us. Because if it's shining light within us, it's shining to the whole world. But we're not shining the things of God if our mind is not focused on Him. Some of you are talking, and it's disrespectful. That word futile is ineffective. It's pointless. Romans 12:2. So what do we got to do? What do we got to do? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We've been talking about surrender. You want to surrender something? Surrender your mind every morning. Make a commitment to God that you're going to surrender your mind. We're going there. It says, which is your reasonable service. That's a good message. Get on a podcast. It's called A Reasonable Response. That's a good message. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Somebody's asking, how do I be transformed? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, perfect will of God. The New Living Translation says it like this, and I want to shed some more light on it. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. The Message Bible says it like this. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture. Don't be so well adjusted to the thoughts and to the patterns of this life. Don't be so adjusted to what the school teacher says. Your holiness cannot come to the extent of because, well, my mom told me I can't go party, so I can't go party. That is not holiness. That's living according to the law, and that's death. Don't be so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it with even thinking. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. That's a hard way of saying it, my goodness. Instead, fix your attention. You with me? On God, you will be changed from the inside out. Jesus says, don't try and clean the outside. Don't try and look all pretty and good on the outside. But clean the inside of the bowl. Gabriel, how do I clean the inside of the bowl? By renewing our mind. I'm going to say it one more in the Amplified this time. I love this verse. In the Amplified. I love the Amplified. I just try and get every scripture I can. Do not be conformed to this world or this age, fashioned after the adapted to its external superficial customs. I love the words here. But be transformed or changed by the entire, this one says the entire, renewal of your mind by its new ideals and its new attitude. We need to fix our eye so we can be full of light. How? Look, when we were born again and we received the Spirit, this is the good news. The people in the world, they can't. Their minds are crazy. Their thoughts are all over the place. But look, 1 Timothy 1, verse 7. Come on, we know the scripture. I love the scripture. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind, or of discipline. The Spirit of God is of sound mind. Look, we can renew our minds and we can discipline our thoughts by the Spirit of God in us. By leaning to the Spirit. By leaning to the desires of the Spirit. I'm just talking about power now. I got three steps for you. If you're taking notes, I got three steps for you. I hope you're hearing me tonight. Matthew 12, Jesus talks about cleaning out a house. Talks about cleaning out a house. But if it's left empty, he's talking about delivering people and setting people free. When I was talking to you about earlier, I was saying that if your mind's empty, if you have no focus in your mind, your heart becomes a playground, your mind becomes a playground. You hearing me? The Bible says if you clear it out, when it's empty, the Bible says that it goes and gets seven other demons, seven other things of the devil, and it comes back and it fills the house, and it was worse than it was before. Look, we got to first clean out our mind. That means if you have bad thoughts, the Bible says anything that exalts itself above the thinking of Christ, we have to shut it down. So any thoughts that come in your mind that are above the thinking of Christ, don't let it wander. Some of us, we just let our thoughts go. And we just say, well, it's kind of fun because, well, I can't touch that thing, but I'm going to think about it. Don't let your thoughts wander. Let's be holy in our thoughts. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Don't let your thoughts wander. Don't let your mind wander. Don't let your mind go loose. So we got to clean it out. We got to repent. So we got to get right away. We just repent. So we're doing a three-step program here. You ready? So first thing we do, we repent. We have that thought come in our mind. We say, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. That's a horrible thought. And I talk to myself. I'm serious. Some people think I'm weird, but I start talking to myself. I say, mind, shut up. That's wrong. That's of the devil. I'm a man of God in Jesus' name. And I tell myself this, and I clear that house out. But I don't leave it empty. Why? Why don't we leave it empty? Because the mind that is empty is a playground for the devil. He just comes in there and he gets more thoughts, and they just keep filling him. So what do? When I'm in bed, one time, I got a quick testimony, transparency. One time I was watching this movie, and it was not the best movie. I got lured in because I was tired and lazy. I was sharing this with my Bible study group last week, a small group. Anyway, long story, the movie wasn't horrible. There was a lot of bad words, and it was just wrong. I shouldn't have been watching it. And I go to bed, I'm laying there, and all of a sudden all these thoughts and these words and all these things kept coming to my mind. I was disgusted because I haven't watched movies like that in a while. So I'm frustrated with myself. And so I just start repenting. And I start casting all that junk out. I start repenting and clearing it and shutting it down. And then I pull out the Word. And I read like three chapters. And I laid there and the peace of God fell on me and I never had a thought again. Look, you can't leave your mind empty. Fill it with the Word. You just read it and read it and read it. Look, let me give you a little tip. Questions. This is a whole other message, but questions are so important. Don't ask the wrong questions. Don't ask, well, I wonder how that feels, and I wonder what that tastes like, and I wonder, ooh, that looks good. And don't ask the wrong questions, because the wrong questions birth is wrong curiosity, and wrong curiosity births bad desires. You with me? The Bible says that I could just go on. We're not even going to go there. But don't ask bad questions. Don't ask wrong questions in your thought. Ask the right questions in your mind. Ask the Bible. When the Bible says, love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, strength, body, ask yourself, how can I do that? And the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Ask the right questions. You with me? Ask the right questions. Fill it with the Word. This is what God thinks about you. This is what God thinks about your brother, your sister, your school teacher. This is what God thinks about the world. This is what God thinks about the universe. This is what God thinks about your animals. This is what God thinks about the food you eat, the schools you go to. This is what God thinks. Fill it, your mind, with what God thinks, and you'll be doing all right. And the third step is this. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. Give your mind to where your heart, where you want your heart to be. Raise your hand here. If you say, I want my heart to be full of light. You do. Give your mind to the things of God. You want to be full of grace and truth? Give your mind to the grace and the truth of God. You want to be full of the kingdom and of righteousness? Give your heart to those things. For he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. Give your mind to those things. Singly and simply, singly on the things of God. One focus, one mind. The interesting thing about the eye is that the eye can only focus on one thing. You got two eyes, but they focus on one thing. Some of us got two eyes and are focusing on two different things. Well, bless them. We love our pastor, but that's okay. But we got two eyes, and they're supposed to be focused and centered on one thing. You with me? That's the amazing thing of the eye. Stand with me. Let's all stand together. I have never preached that fast before. Jordan, want to? Let's be single-minded, not double-minded. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily strips us or trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. One place. Your thoughts, man, I wish I could keep going in this. But look, your thoughts and your mind, let it be singly focused. Discipline your mind. Discipline your mind to the things of God. Proverbs 4:20, my last scripture, and I'm going to close. I got honey on that one. No, I'm serious. I got honey on that one. I was eating. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Do not let my thoughts and my word depart from your mind. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You want to keep them in your heart? Keep filling it. Keep filling your mind with the things of God. For they are life to those who find them, and health to the whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs or the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Closing, I want to give you a thought. I was reading, it's about a year ago, and I was hanging out with the Lord, and I'm driving on the road, and I know we got to wrap up here, but I just feel like I need to say this. Driving down the road, and all of a sudden, my physical eye was caught on a balloon. My goodness. I'm ADD, extremely. I can't focus on one thing. Ask my fiance. She'll tell you. I got to do one thing. I get freaked out. If you tell me to do two, I just run. I'm driving the road, and I see a balloon. Oh my God, I've never seen a balloon before, but I see a balloon, and I start looking at it. And instantly, I just in my peripheral vision, the car stopped. I slam on my brakes, and it's a red light. I'm at a Tudor in Lake Otis. I'm sitting there, and the Lord spoke to me. He goes, Gabriel, the thing that catches your eye will eventually take over your whole life. What is your mind caught up in? What does your mind get caught up in? It's not okay to have loose thoughts. Gird up the loins of your mind. Loins can be translated as gird up, bring together those loose thoughts, those loose reproductive. Loins, we understand what loins is. It's a reproductive organ. Your thoughts are reproductive. You hearing me? Your thoughts reproduce something. Bring it together. Bring it together. Bring it all together and focus it on the thing of God. The sheep, you know why the sheep strayed away? You know why people fall away? The reason why people fall away is because their thinking becomes futile and it doesn't become single, it becomes dismayed and all over the place. The sheep, the interesting thing about a sheep is that when a sheep's eating, it focuses on the food. That's why they have a rod to slap that thing in the butt to make it stay in focus. Well, the thing about the sheep is that it follows the lust of their eyes. You know Eve? Eve sinned because she followed the lust of her eyes. The sheep fell away and strayed away off into the middle of nowhere. In Luke 15, Jesus had to go find the sheep, right? We know the story. He's talking about salvation. I'm telling you that the reason why the sheep fell away, and Jesus spoke this to me about two months ago, because its eye began to wander. Its mind just began to wander. The prodigal son, his focus wasn't on the things of his father. It was on other things. Look, bring in your focus. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, tonight, God, your will, I pray your will would be done tonight. Not our will, Lord. Not our imagination, not our rules, not our doctrines, not our laws. God, your will would be done tonight. God, I'm praying that you would just give us each a supernatural ability by your Spirit to discipline our minds to the things of God. God, I thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for shedding light on how to be more like you. Transform our hearts by renewing our minds tonight. Teach us and show us how to be more like you in our thoughts and our attitude. God, there's so much more you want to say, and I'm asking that you would meet each person where they are tonight. Meet each person where they are tonight. Pour out yourself on them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Read.
Amen. That was a good word. That was a good word. Praise God. We're just going to close the night tonight. I want to ask a couple questions first. One is that if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, if you've never submitted this mind to Him, then I want to give you an opportunity tonight. The Bible says that because of the way that we live our lives, we earn destruction. Every time we lie, every time we cheat, steal, every time we lust, every time our mind goes into that fantasy world. Gabriel said something that just caught me, and that was that there's some of us, I think, probably if we were honest with ourselves, there's a lot of things that we don't do with our physical bodies that we're way past doing in our minds. We're there and gone and got the check. You guys know what I'm talking about? I mean, there's things that we don't do out of fear or whatever it is, or just, you know, social boundaries, but your mind is there and gone. Those things, that's what he's talking about. That heart issue that allows you to go there and to meditate on those things, that's a big deal. That thing will erode your foundation and it will erode your life. In some ways, it's more dangerous than external actions because it's the root. It's where all that originates from. If you're here tonight and the Lord's convicted you because you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you want to repent and you want to get your life right, I want you to raise your hand up real high. He paid a public price for you. You can make a public profession for Him. Raise your hand nice and high. Awesome. Cool, you want to come down for me? Just come on right down over here. I won't embarrass you. Is there anybody else? Come on down. if you're convicted by this message, maybe you're goofing off during this message, and the reason you were goofing off during this message was because it was getting way too close to home. If that's you tonight, I want you just to come forward. You know that your mind has been in places your mind should never have gone. I want you just to come forward. Come on. Don't be a liar in the house of God. Awesome. Praise God. We love you guys tonight. It's better to get right with God and get a clean mind than to live a life with a mind that just erodes your confidence in God. Awesome. We're going to take some time. I want to pray for you guys who are up here up front. And leaders, if you want to come and you want to pray and minister, we just want God to move here in this place. And you guys are going to be free to go after I pray, but you're also free to stay. And there's no formula here. We just want God's will to be done in our lives and our hearts. That's the deal. Father God, I thank you for every young man and woman that's here. And I thank you for every young man and young woman that's responded, God. God, and I thank you that when we draw near, you do draw near back to us. And Father God, right now from your throne of grace, there is more than enough grace to wash away every sin, every unrighteous deed. There's past things and there's hurts and there's wounds and there's areas of shame and guilt. And God, your grace is efficient and it's sufficient to wash those things away. God, and tonight we ask you to make this night an altar for everyone up in the front of this room, God. That tonight would be the last night where the mind and the things are unfocused and are not set on you, God. There's new beginnings for everyone here, God. We love you tonight, Lord, and I'm asking that supernaturally you would minister to hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. You're so faithful. You're so good. Thank you for your word, God. Amen. Amen.